Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design, and we're that. Only some of our design is unconscious, subconscious, and who knows? My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm looking forward to talking to you tonight. What we wanted to talk about is how you know, we talk about Radiance by Design, but you're a veritable library. Most of you know that, but if you don't, let's start at square one again. I always find it helps me to go back to the beginning. Anyway, basically, we're a library. You're a library of all kinds of places you've been and seen, whether it's different galaxies or this galaxy, different lifetimes, parallel lifetimes. A bunch of us at Oneness Blessing today, we're talking about parallel lifetimes. So, oh my gosh, how can you be in two places at once? Wow. So, one of the things I'm going to be giving a workshop in Bellingham on very soon is people want some instruction on how you work on the relationship between physical parts of the body and aches and pains and so on, and some of your psychology, some of the old programs that you've stored in your library called your body. How do we figure out what's where, and how do you break the code of your own body mind? It's a really interesting subject. So as I think about it, well, I think about it all the time when I'm doing sessions with people. Because, for example, when you look at your lungs, if you look at them intuitively, they record a lot of karmic grief. Now, look, if you've lived and died and lived and died and lived and died, if that's true, which is something what we've been kind of, I suppose, cultivating in our awareness for quite a long time, or if we just store a lot of imprints that come from all kinds of empathy of other people's emotions all over this planet and other planets and so on, it doesn't matter. That's where you house grief. Now, it can be different for you than me, because maybe you've got like a lot more resistance, or maybe I've got a lot more rage or something, so you know that it gets to be like a pudding, and then we add a little of this, a little of that, a soupçon of this, a soupçon of that. So you have a slightly different variation than I do. But still, nonetheless, our lungs have that kind of imprint in them. So if you have a propensity, some people do, for things like asthma or pneumonia. It's really interesting, the people that have an emphysema. Or why is it that some of us smoke? I haven't smoked for many years, but I did smoke some time back. But a lot of people who smoke, if you think about it, you hold the cigarette up and you take the smoke in, and you can't really breathe. You kind of block yourself from other people. It keeps up a smoke, literally smoke screen, away from you and other people. Now, if you have an awful lot of grief hidden in there somewhere, you don't want it to come out. You want it to kind of get dulled down, A. And B, the other thing is that with grief, usually it means loss. Loss usually means you were involved with some people or some experience that you wanted to last and it didn't. So there can be developed a kind of an unbalanced fear of other people as well. So the idea of setting up a smoke screen gets better and better, doesn't it? It's really helpful. Anyway, I just thought that you might want to call in tonight, tell me what's going on with you. We'll take a look at your body and find out what on earth is going on. We can link it to the chakras. If you check out your chakras and if you color them up each day, which we really should do, because what happens when you color them up each day, and they're just vibrational, like disc-like etheric aspects of your being that house huge programming that's come from other lifetimes and so on. If you go in there regularly and say at the base of your spine, you want to color up red, base of your spine, you want to color up red, you do that every single day, you're going to notice when old programs are weighing you down, when your red chakra, which is really what stores your attraction for money, base animal instinct, lust for self, lineage, and all that kind of stuff. And I always find when it gets really juicy red, it's a real paint pot for creativity as well. That's what I see when I watch people's bodies. The ones that are very vital and really creative usually have not just about collecting money and attracting money, it's about actually creating as well. But, you know, the lusty blood sort of thing. So the more you go in and tidy up those chakras, spin them, clear up the lumps and bumps that you don't want, the more you're going to become more and more sensitive to the messages that they hold for you each day or each lifetime. Who knows? So I want us to talk about that and talk about what's happening with the aches and pains in your body. And also what happens if they're not really yours after all. Are they someone else's? Let's find out that as well. So if you've got like sicknesses or if you've got illnesses like fibromyalgia that come from suppressing your real self, what can we do? We can bring in our guides and angels, your higher self, my higher self, and really see if we can unhook some of that or at least teach ourselves what it's trying to tell you and just paying attention to what this illness is trying to tell you about yourself, your programming, and your suppression can help you kind of unveil more and more about your own story and how to release it. It's fascinating. So let's do our meditation together. And remember, I always like to do our meditation together because it sets up a coherence, doesn't it? Coherency out there in the world. And we have this great bubble of loving. You know, one of the things, my very, very favorite friends are the ones that when we have an altercation or a clash of some sort, I know they'll go off and go, what was that about me? What was I doing? I don't mean pointing the finger at me, Veronica. I mean at themselves going in and investigating what they're doing, because you and I have a whole lot of programs in there. And when we approach difficulties in such a fashion, we move ourselves up and out of a kind of a clanging, clashing dissonance. So also meditating together is a great way to soothe and harmonize when each of us is radiating and reflecting some of the stuff that's been lodged, or I should say some of the reactions that we've encoded deep within ourselves from gosh knows where, and that can get triggered by other people. It's hard for people to get along all the time, but if you can really, really recognize that you are somewhere in the mix whenever there's an altercation and you go in and look after that, you and your friendships can last a lot longer and be a lot more, vital for your own growth and your own evolution. Because I'll tell you what, we really need to help each other, don't we? Because we're wanting to make the shift. Incidentally, I don't know how many of you live near Seattle, but tomorrow is a big one, or Saturday, there's a great big Oneness Blessings gathering at the Unity Church all day Saturday. There's a one at 10 and one at 2 or 3 or something. And there's a lot of Oneness Blessings Om meditators that are going to be there radiating the shift to those of us who are going to go there and join them. So you might want to go to the Unity Church and check to shift to Awakening Seattle on your computer if you're interested at all. So let's do our meditation. I like to do the sacred geometrics. And I was going back in time today. I'm writing a book, and I'm really enjoying some of the retrospectives that are coming up in the book. And when I first started to awaken to being an intuitive, I used to get triangles. I used to get an awful lot of geometric structures. But mostly they were triangles at the beginning, and they used to go right into the center of things I was looking at. And then a little later, and I was remembering this, when I was doing a kind of a crazy shamanic dance workout, which I still do 35 years later, I was noticing today how I used to see pyramid-like shapes. Remember, they started off being triangles, and then they were pyramids. And they were pyramid-like shapes with tremendous, like if you look at a geodesic dome, you know how there's many, many triangles that make up a geodesic dome, or if you look at a pyramid which has a bunch of other pyramids behind it and somehow they're all connected, there'll be all these amazing gold lines connecting this tremendous city of gold lines. And that's kind of what I awakened to in my vision. So now when we do this sacred geometric meditation, I love it. Somewhere deep in my soul, this touches me. Maybe it has to do with concurrent realities in other places. I don't know what it has to do with, but I do know some of our guests, like Grammy Masters, and there are other people who've talked about sacred geometry and how it's part of the language of our souls and of our dimensional nature. So let's just get in there and simplify it by jumping into a meditation together. We'll all go into our tetrahedrons, our star tetrahedrons, and so on, and we'll create and we'll manifest, and we'll know that we're actually impacting many, many dimensions of ourselves. Vladimir Turek says 15 dimensions, but I don't know if we can calibrate things that clearly yet. At least I'm never sure about that kind of clear calibration, but I am sure that he's good at the multidimensional self. So here we go. Close your eyes. Good. And a lot of us know that our brains are changing and making us, or waking us up to become more and more available for more and more of the downloads from the universes, the high frequency energies and so on, and that our brains are awakening to being able to receive these and to use them, to employ them in who we are, in our identity, and hopefully in the identity of our community. So we're going to think of that as well. So let's call in above your head, perhaps 2 miles, a golden ball. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful. And below your spine, another golden ball. Maybe it's only 40 feet down. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball, zoop, down right through your spine and into the lower golden ball. Good. Now drop a golden pyramid from the upper golden ball, that's where it's pointed, down to about waist height, maybe 40 feet out. And then upside down, another golden pyramid, and its point goes into the lower golden ball. And now have those two structures, the pyramid pointing up and the pyramid pointing down, to meet each other base to base. So they create an eight-sided structure called an octahedron. It's kind of a diamond shape, isn't it? And inside of that, you have a crystal ball, a beautiful crystal ball. Its outside edges nudge the inside edges of your octahedron. Can you feel the difference in the energy when you get into the roundness? Oof, feminine energy. And then you go to the star tetrahedron, which is a three-dimensional star of David. You're inside the crystal ball in a big star now. Now remember, the star is also your Merkaba. Well, I don't think of it as exactly the same, but never mind. We're going to say that for... Okay. And now... spin and spin and spin in this spin and spin and spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron. And as you spin and spin, you'll probably feel what it's like to be spinning, right? And as you spin, look at the magical screen in front of you. And on that magical screen, we're going to create some movies. And the first movie is you becoming what it is you really want to become. What is it you want to become? I want to become consciously multidimensional at any given time. And if Vladimir is right that there's 15 levels or 15 dimensions, I want to be able to see them all. That's it. Okay, now I see myself up there. And you're becoming what it is you want to become. You don't have to do the multidimensional thing if you don't want to. Just become who you want to become. That's right. Okay. And now as we get there, I want you to give yourself a woo-hoo. Wrap that in light, move it over to the left, and now we're going to do the second of our little movies. And this movie is what you want to create, and I know what I want to create. Now, I'm not telling you all about it because I told all about the TV thing. It didn't quite work, so I'm being quieter about that. But I've got some great, great plans. And I see all the resources. What do you have? It can be home and family. It can be relationship. It can be anything you want to manifest for yourself, your next phase of life, your existence, whatever it is you want. Driving a spaceship. Woohoo! See all the resources, the time, the space, the intellect, the imagination, all the things that are required that you need to create your, to manifest your dream. Now, sometimes you need a few extra people to come in, and there they are, woohoo. And bit by bit, there you've got it. That's it. And then see all the pieces coming together. Give yourself a high five, because there you are achieving it all. Isn't that wonderful? And now again, we watch all the resources come in to help you sustain your project so that it can be, keep the life breathed into it, right? Good work. Yay! And then move that over to the side. And now let's open the Galactic Healing Center. I call it Galactic because who knows where our teams are from, our guides and angels and higher selves and all these other beings. Each of them has a layer and layer of teams of their own, and each of those teams has teams of their own. And we talked a bit about the ancestral links, and they go on through dimensions, through time and space. Yay! So we're calling it the Galactic Healing Center, and you have your key healing team standing all around the healing table, and then in the magic and the etherics of it all, behind them banks and banks of helpers. The first person to come in and lie on the healing table is you, or in my case, me. And then you have an idea of what it is you'd like to be helped with. And sometimes they'll tell you if you don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. Now pay attention, because they're going to give you a message about yourself and what you need to do to help yourself along, eh? Mm-hmm. Interesting, okay. All right, now we're going to wrap that in light. Now you're going to bring in, we're going to move that healing situation over to the side and wrap it in light and ask the healing team to keep going on it. But then they're magical, so they can replicate themselves around a fresh table. So bring that fresh table in. And now we're bringing somebody in on that. I'm going to bring in a man who's very, very powerful, and he's really intelligent, but he's withdrawing his sight and his smell and his hearing as he gets older. Yeah. And I'm asking the healing team to work with him and perhaps give us some ideas on what he could do. Yeah. And they're doing a lot of energy on his spine. And because he's very, very sensitive, they're pulling a certain kinds of energy blocks out of his, I guess it's out of the perineal area, the bottom of his torso and the top of his head. They're pulling out these long strings of, you know how your nerves are, and also vibrations and frequencies are all energy and information, light and information. And they're pulling strings and strings of it out of his body, because he's holding himself together in a protective fashion. And as he does so, and you understand that propensities come from lineage, you know, you inherit the propensities, not necessarily somebody's, well, I inherited my diabetes. No, you didn't. You inherited the tendency for your body not to metabolize food in such a way. You didn't actually inherit the diabetes. You see what I'm saying? So this person has inherited a family sensitivity, tending to isolate and pull away from the interaction with the world. That's it. And they're just pulling out these tendencies to withdraw. They are. Because when he withdraws, he pulls back the full bore function of the nerve. There they go. And a couple of the muscles at the neck. And not just muscles, the nerves and vertebrae are held in a strange way. So the guides, the healing guides, are pulling and making a distance between the vertebrae. That's it. in any case, I can feel empathetically that his ears are feeling the impact of what they're doing. Yeah. Now they're doing a lot more to him and talking to him. So we'll back up, we'll wrap him in light, move it over to the side, and have the team replicate themselves around a fresh table. And in this table, I guess we'll do the political one now. Somebody said astrologically that, and I was thinking this yesterday about from a different perspective, that our president is being roasted by a lot of hidden enemies right now. I know it's always that case, but right now it's a little worse. And I think we want to bring him in and have him buffered and protected, and the people around him working for the greater good. Because it's not just a matter of he's doing something wrong. It's a matter of they're pushing to get him ousted. You see? So that's quite different, isn't it? If you look really hard through the government, it's hard to find out who's really just. So let's bring in all the people involved in that kind of political struggle that's going on and ask for the ancestral links and the higher guidance of the guides themselves and the higher guidance of those as well, the multidimensional guidance. And let's call in from the universal frequencies some very dynamic transformative energies and have those energies, which are coming at us anyway, have them come down and absolutely burst up through the soles of the feet and the perineum of as many of the political beings that we can get our hands on here, our etheric hands, and infuse them with evolution. That's probably the best way to put it. Consciousness and evolution for the greater good, because we're talking earlier about the shift. We want to keep making the shift. We've started it, haven't we? Yeah, we want to keep infusing the good. Excellent. Now, how many can we get? Lots and lots. And let's bring in Russian leader Putin and various key figures as well. And let's infuse them, remember, with consciousness. And the Syrian leaders. Both sides. It's called waking up. And anyone else you can think of that's in a position of power, especially the egregious kind of power. Yeah. Just infuse them all. Mm-hmm. Good work. And now let's wrap that in light. And move it over to the side. Now let's call in through the top of your head, right down and have it whirl round and round in your heart. Come down your arms and your hands. Let's call in this wonderful vibrance of kind of an apricot-colored frequency. Well, it's different colors, but that's sort of one of the most predominant colors. It's a very intense color of harmony and growth, and it's coming in through the top of your head, as I said, going down through the heart, down the arms and the hands. And I want you to pat that on the world, wherever you see pain and struggle, sickness, war. That's it. Where we're poisoning the plants and the fish. All the way around, see a regenerative energy perking through Mother Earth, perking through all the land, the little villages, the big cities, the schools. Good. And have it go round and round and round the planet. So the planet is totally buffered by this amazing harmonious light. Now bring that round and round your planet, back up your hand, up your arm, and have it swirl around your heart. Good. And then shoot up through the top of your head. Good. Now turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center. And jump into the star tetrahedron. Whirligig, whirligig, round and round. Here we go again. And then we arrive here in our room all together so we can talk to each other. So call in 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. This is Veronica Entwistle, and we're talking tonight about you. And I was going to link healing to body parts just to give us a sense of what a library we have. But also I want to talk about Ho'oponopono, I think you say Ho'oponopono, which is a really amazing healing system. I think a lot of you heard about it. Dr. Joe Vitale wrote a book called, I think it's called Zero Limit. Anyway, Ho'oponopono is a system, a Hawaiian healing system. And I don't know if it was, I don't think it was developed by, well, I don't think it was started by this fellow, but there is a therapist. I heard it this way, that this there was a new manager of a mental hospital for the criminally insane, and they couldn't keep any employees because indeed they did keep these crazy people, as you want to call them, and they were shackled, tied up, locked down. They were vicious and angry, and it was really horrible. And most of the people working there, a lot of you have heard this story, but it doesn't matter. It bears retelling, I think. The people working there would leave because it was just so horrendous, and there was no hope that anybody would ever get out. Goody, you're on the air. I'll just finish the story, and then it'll be your turn. Nobody would stay, and then this new therapist came, and all of a sudden, people were getting better. People wanted to stay working there, and so we're going to talk about why after we take our caller. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. Lisa.
Hi, how are you? Is Lisa?
Yes.
Hi, how you doing, kiddo?
I'm good. I talked to you a while ago about a break. I don't know if you remember.
About a what? Your phone popped out.
A breakup.
Oh, yes, I do remember, Lisa.
Yes. And I've been working through it. I just got a call from him a few days ago, so I've had to do a bit more work. I guess my question would be, am I right about my thinking? It's not that we're just totally incompatible. It's that there's something just a little off.
Okay, hang on a sec, Lisa. Can you walk around your apartment or your house because your phone is terrible?
Yeah, that's what he said. No, actually, it's a brand new phone.
Oh, you're kidding. Is it just where you are in your house, maybe?
I think it's just this particular connection.
Okay, so what you're asking, if I can get it right, is this right that you should be broken up? Are you making a mistake? Are you guys compatible?
No. I know we should be broken up. But right about the reason.
Okay. Well, you know what's interesting? I think you can feel very unheard when you're with him. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, that's a big thing for me.
That's a very difficult thing, especially for women, I think, eh?
Yeah, or like your opinion doesn't make any sense, like you're not logical.
It just seems like if in a relationship two people want to open each other and evoke in one another an amazing self-actualization, laughter, love, and all that, you can't do that here with this guy. But you know what, Lisa? You could if I know you're growing a lot. If you release a defense, which you would do, if he really went at what's blocking him. Because he's holding, we were talking about the body and the various parts of the body. He's holding a lot of defense in his heart area, in his chest. Do you know that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
He actually has a problem because there's something clotting.
Well, it's funny because he could, if he worked at it, you know, if he went for therapy and had a lot of energy and stuff, he could clear some of that, and there would be a potential for this relationship. And I think he feels the sting of breaking up because he, at some level, he knows that you have something that would help him grow and vice versa, but it's blocked, you see, that's all. So
yeah.
He's better for you than some guys. He just is blocked.
Yeah, and I just don't go back. I just know that I'm not crazy. Like, it wasn't that we weren't compatible. There's actually something going on that's not healed in him right yet.
Yeah. But you know what? You might tell him to go off and do some healing for 6 months and give you a call.
Yeah, I think there's someone coming in. There's someone new coming.
I think that's true, actually. But
yeah.
I still say that this guy has something in him, and that's why you were attracted. There is something there. It's just hiding behind a horrible defense of some sort that keeps him mildly numb, I think. What would you say about that?
I'll pray for him.
All right, honey. Well, thank you for calling, and I hope next time we have a better connection so I don't miss any of your
precious
words.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that.
That's okay. You have to run the telephone company if you're going to do better, eh?
I guess. Thank you.
Take care, Lisa.
Thank you.
All right. Now, what I was talking about was the Ho'oponopono, and I was saying that the fellow, remember, for those of you who didn't hear it, I was talking about how people in this absolute end of the line, mental hospital for the criminally insane, was really a terrible place for people to work because nobody got better and everybody got very depressed. Then they had this new guy managing it, and lo and behold, people were getting better and people wanted to work there. And all he was doing was something you and I have all learned through the years at some level or another, which is he was going through the files, right? And for each person, he was in there trying to empathize with them or really feel their pain. He said, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." I can't remember what the fourth one is, but it's, "I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you." There was one other line there, but he was saying that each day as he went through all the files. Oh, goody, you're on the air.
Hello, Veronica. This is Joan.
Hi, Joan. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Well, it's good that you called in. This is Joan from Hawaii, my friend.
My friend. Veronica, I have a question for you.
Good.
And first of all, second thing to say, the third missing piece was thank you, I love you.
Oh, what is it? Thank you, and I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, and I love you. That's what it is it?
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Where do you see me in 1 month from now? In 3 months from now, in a year from now.
Okay. 1 month from now, I see you. Oh, my, your life keeps changing, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm seeing. I'm not exactly sure about the timing, but you're going farther east, which I think I already know anyway, and then you're going to circle back to the west coast. And then I think you're going to, I'm not sure if you're going to circle back to the West Coast for a while. You're going to be east for a while, and I don't know how long, and you're going to circle back to the West Coast, and then you're going to be making some big decision about going over to Hawaii or going back up north on the West Coast. And I think it's going to be based upon the decision is going to be made according to a couple of people that you get involved with. And that will be probably whilst you're east, you're going to get involved with some more people. And that's going to answer some of your questions. I don't want you to worry so much. It seems like when you go east, you're going to be worrying too much about the right thing. You need to keep releasing and just let yourself be led to the right connections and the right steps. Because I'll tell you what you want to do, Joan, is there's not one way of doing what you want to do. What you want to do is participate, do a contribution on the planet. There's more than one way to do it. And you're going to have a group of people, and there's going to be two groups of people, okay? There's one that is a fairly decent size, and then it seems to split. And in that split, you could go with either one. And in many ways, that's already happened. Not that that's the only way that's happening, because, like I say, it's already happened, but I mean, this is different. This is new, the one that I'm seeing coming up where it's going to split into two. So if you look at it differently, you'll say, oh, this is community consciousness, and we have to go through whether or not we can resolve dissonances in order to build. And, you know, sometimes with people you can, and sometimes with people you can't. But you're going to do just fine. In time, you're going to be kind of a leader, and you're going to be involved in two groups, and you're going to go to one, and you're going to go to the other. You're going to take your time and go back and forth, you know, because you're a contributor in both of them. And I'm not sure if one's in Hawaii. I know you are going back to Hawaii maybe for a little time, but you might be living on the mainland for a while. Can you handle that?
Yeah, I can. Now, is Hawaii first or is the mainland first?
Mainland, okay. You go east, then you go back to the west coast, and then you, I think, take a trip to Hawaii, and then you come back to the west coast. So I guess that puts Hawaii down the list. You might be going to Hawaii to get stuff or get your things or something.
Mm-hmm. Rent a house, maybe?
Pardon me?
Rent out a house, maybe?
Yeah, that would make sense to me. But it's not, you're not cutting off your nose to spite your face. You're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to go and settle affairs. Mm-hmm. And you'll go back off and on, so it must be renting out a house. Do you have a business over there?
Not anymore.
But it's interesting because you have some kind of business. You have some business to deal with.
I have a house.
Yeah, so if you rent it out, that is your business, right?
Uh-huh.
You know what else I see, Joan, is when you go over there, you're laughing a lot more than you have been. You're going to start getting really cheery about a lot of it, and that's a nice thing.
Great.
But this trip east is very good for you, my friend. This is very good. There are a couple of people there that you already know. Have you been there before?
Oh, yeah. You mean where I'm going east?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because there's a couple of people that, there's a couple of people you know and are very fond of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun. I really like it.
Women.
Yeah. And, you know, I like it, and there are several travel possibilities coming from this particular journey. So I think you're going to go directly back to probably California. But there's a hook in there. As if there's a possibility that you may stop between. There's a possibility of another stop because of someone you meet. You may not choose to do it, but it's like you've got more options than you think, girl.
Oh,
you're
going to
have fun, Joan. Can you stand it?
Yes. Now I can. It's been heavy.
Oh, yeah. It's been a real trauma. But, you know, I think a lot of the energies, a lot of the astrology and stuff is pretty, and has been pretty intense. And I hear it's lightening up and lightening up, and by July should be a lot better, a lot easier.
Oh, good. Okay. Are there heavy energies left from the last adventure?
Yes. Just a sec here. There's a difficulty. There's just a kind of a pool of heavier energy, but I think it'll just dissipate. I don't think you have to, in quotes, deal with it. You know what I mean? You don't have to go back with a rolling pin or anything and hit anybody or.
Do I need to get it cleared? Or will it clear itself?
I think it'll clear itself. Well, we could go back in and do the Ho'oponopono kind of thing, you know, because there's one person who's very, very afflicted and is feeling really traumatized and kind of moody about it all, but I want to say it comes from a lot of past pain that she's experienced. And it's not about you people, although you triggered each other. You know what I'm saying? People, it takes a good old relationship to trigger the hidden issues, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and so if you can send back, because I don't think you're stung particularly, do you?
That I'm stung?
That you're really, are you really hurt?
Not now, I was.
Okay. Because I feel like I wouldn't want you to go back in and try to sort things out until this other person has let some of the fields move through herself and that she's beginning to see the light of day inside, and that's going to take a little while longer.
Oh, I thought I would never go back.
Oh, you will.
That was finished.
You won't go back to live there with them, but you will certainly associate. You'll talk with her because you don't like leaving things out there. I don't think you do anyway.
No.
It doesn't look like. Mm-mm. But we're just saying, okay, that's great, but don't do it while the person's still, that effluent from other experiences is still kind of clouding her because she can't feel safe right now. But she will.
Mm-hmm.
She's angry and stockpiled. Anyway, you're going to have a fun time.
Well, thank you, Veronica.
Yeah, well, keep
me
posted.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I will. You know that.
So maybe we'll talk before you leave. I have another caller, and I'll take her. And thank you for calling in, Joan.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Many blessings. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello, hello. Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I want to say Ho'oponopono.
Ho'oponopono. Thank you.
Yeah. Last night, I woke up with a lot of pain in my kidney, in my left kidney.
Oh.
And I just would really love to know a little bit about maybe what. You know, what you perceive about that.
In the left kidney?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Cheryl, have you moved back over to Hawaii?
Yes, I've been here for 15 months now.
Yay, is it wonderful?
Yes, it is wonderful.
And are you single?
I am single. And, you know, I know that you ask me that every time I talk to you. And I always say yes, and you always say, well, there's somebody just right there in your etheric field.
Well, maybe that's going to be your love affairs in the etheric.
Well, apparently, I guess so. I mean, I'm not referring to but the person you see there, it's not my son, is it?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, this is the mate kind of person, but we never know how long it's going to take, and my gosh. Somebody who has been 5 years ago, well, it could have been 2,500 years. Who knows? But in any case,
I'm glad to know someone's here or there or somewhere, you know, that I'm, I think I'm probably having a fantastic affair. Like a multidimensional one, you know.
Exactly.
Reality.
Parallel lives, Cheryl. That's funny. Okay, so I want to say in your kidney, I want to say that there's a It's the funniest thing. It's like, let's see if we can get it going. It's a, I want to say, that I feel like you've been emotionally stabbed. Do you know what I mean? It's got like a knot in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're a body worker. There you go. Can you feel this? Do you feel what I'm doing right now?
I'm not sure if I do. I feel kind of a nervous energy about me.
Okay. Always, or just because of what we're doing?
I think being on the radio somehow.
Hey, Cheryl, it's not just radio, it's global radio. Now how do you feel?
Hello, world. Hey, buddy, where are you? I'm over here.
Let's get all the dimensions going. Okay, so I feel like something, do you know that something hurt your feelings and gave you a real sense of, something hurt your feelings over the last few weeks? What is that? Only it was very specific and kind of a puncturing feeling.
Huh.
I feel like there's something about honesty and very, very sensitive, insecure, and it could be insecurity because of the radio show, but I think it's a different level of insecurity because you're acutely sensitive, and there's something very, somebody hurt you, and you were already resonating with a very insecure kind of feeling that was coming up. And also with all these crazy planetary things, you know, we're dumping a ton of past life or old consciousness stuff. Something kind of punctured at you. Any idea what it is? It's to do with the young man, I think.
It has to do with what?
I think it had to do with a young man.
Hmm. Well, that would be probably my son. He lives here. But I don't...
You get along really well with him, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Something hurt your feelings, and I want to say, let's go in there and see if we can fix it or get it to move.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. If you'll just hang on a sec, we'll deal with Cheryl's kidney.
Yeah, thanks.
Just a second. I'm gonna pull. Okay, so it's starting to get a little bit softer. It had like a puncture wound in it. Isn't that funny? And you know that it's etheric.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Yeah. So there's something that happened that gave you a real sense, like a shock, or a real sense of injury, and it surprised you. It couldn't be, I don't think, could it be a client?
No. No, Could it be something that, I mean, you're saying that it happened real recently, but could this be... Could this be, you know, you were mentioning our lineage and past life. I mean, or does it seem more current to you?
I was going to say a while back, and you beat me to it, that it could be something triggered. I mean, it could be just at a grocery store or something. Somebody triggered something in you that evoked a pain that came from another life or a series of other lives, but I think it's another life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be lineage, but I think it's another life. And as you say that, it kind of emerges more than lineage because it's like someone else rather than family prompted this reaction. And it's like a young person. But you know what it's like, Cheryl. All of a sudden you get some kind of reaction going and it is from other lives. And you can really feel... Oh, I see. Also, you took on... Did your son have a bad back or something?
Yeah, he does sometimes. He works really hard. And he's just, you know, he's just working his body too hard.
And how old is he?
31.
Because I'm thinking that what happened is that you... Somebody, all right, okay, this is a little bit more intricate than what I thought at the beginning, but somebody, making me burp like mad, excuse me, everybody, but it's like somebody brought up a pain. Okay, so it's like he had a pain or someone young like that had a pain and you took it on, and it because it would trigger something from another life in you. See what I mean?
Oh, I see.
So it was something small that was said, but it hit you like a little, and it's because of an empathy situation with that other that young person, but also a propensity from another life. I don't think it's lineage as much as, oops, I'm going to have to go here. I don't think it's lineage as much as an empathy lineage, if you want to see the difference there, you know? And I think it
so
can come
are you,
out really easily.
Matt, go ahead.
It can come up really, you can release it really easily.
Give me a tip.
did you stomp? I like to stomp my foot. Say, is this mine? Can you do that? Because I don't
like,
think
is
it
this
is.
Mine?
Yeah. And then what happens? It shifted, didn't it, a little bit?
I feel a little bit more powerful, yeah.
Okay. Do it again. Is this mine? Yeah, because I feel like that moved it slightly into kind of the bone from that from the kidney. Did it?
Is this mine? How do we protect ourselves from stuff like this? I mean, or is it just part of the process of all of these things coming up and out and us being done with it?
Yeah, I think that the process of protection is a lot to do with clearing these days. And unfortunately, I have to dump this conversation just because we're going to get dumped off the radio.
Okay.
And I have another waiter. But I keep clearing it and filling yourself with light because it'll be gone. And remember, the propensity of taking it on is easier when you're releasing karmically. That's the thing. So clearing's the big job. Take care, Cheryl.
Thank you, Veronica. Aloha.
Aloha. Now we have one more caller. You're on the air if you're really fast. Really fast.
Veronica, Talia.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
You got to be fast, honey, because they're going to throw us off the air.
Yeah. Do you have anything to tell me? I mean, life's been very strange for the last couple of years.
I know, but I don't know if I have time to tell you very much at all right now. But it looks like you've been clearing an awful lot of emotion, and again, the emotion is kind of clouding your inner. So are you doing your chakras? I know you're very, very intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing your? You need to round them up because they're all flowing, and it's not really around. You know, you got to give them some kind of structure. It'll help you.
Okay.
You'll have to call me next week because I have to go, honey.
Okay, sweetie.
All right.
Thanks
for calling anyway. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and I have a big treat for you next week on Paradigm Shifters. We have Dr. Joe Vitale, and most of you saw him on The Secret. His latest book is Attract Money Now. And I'm telling you what, this book is just radiant. Talk about radiance by design. He's radiating, teaching you to radiate your wealth, the wealth of being in charge of who you are inside. And, it's a very, very interesting book, and he also brings up the Ho'oponopono. How was that, Cheryl? I think you'll really enjoy it. So that's 8 o'clock Tuesday night, or the next day it'll be podcasted on Veronica Entwistle. Thank you, VeronicaEntwistle.com. Sorry about that. Tune into my website. Let me know what you're thinking, what guests you'd really like to hear, what kind of feedback of any of these shows. Or if you want a session with me and my wonderful guides and angels, and I want to say thank you so much for tuning in and radiating with me. Good night, many blessings, and much love.